This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. I had a guest on this program once tell me that when he switched over to a whole food, plant-exclusive diet, folks at his church became very concerned. They saw him losing weight week after week and felt that divine action was in order. "There must be something terribly wrong with you," they told him. "So we just want you to know that we've formed a prayer group and we're praying for you each and every day." My guest assured his worried co-worshippers that he was fine. All he'd done was switch to a whole food, plant-exclusive diet. Weight loss was normal, and divine intervention probably wasn't necessary. My guest today has written a book that does a wonderful job of explaining exactly what such a diet can do for you. No prayers needed, unless you want to thank God for providing these amazing plants in the first place. My Beef with Meat is Rip Esselstyn's second literary attempt to tell the world that optimum health is within reach of everyone. His first book, The Engine 2 Diet, set the stage and has been changing lives for several years now. We've had him on the show before, and I always look forward to talking with him. Rip Esselstyn, welcome back to HeartWise.
Thank you so much, Charles. It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You spent a good chunk of your life fighting fires in Texas as a firefighter, Rip. Now you're trying to extinguish flames of doubt when it comes to eating right. What drives you so strongly to do what you do and write what you write?
Well, you know, at some point, when you firmly believe in something, you stand up for it and you take a stand. That's the way I feel about this, and especially in light of the healthcare crisis that we have before us now in America, where, you know, last year we spent close to $2.8 trillion in healthcare costs, and close to 75% of those costs are directly attributable to five chronic Western diseases: heart disease, type 2 diabetes, prostate cancer, breast cancer, and obesity. And every one of them, we know, I mean, the science is crystal clear, is either preventable or reversible through a whole food, plant-based diet. Mm. So I retired from firefighting a little over 4 years ago, and instead of rescuing people from fires, I'm now rescuing people from their disease-promoting foods. And it's given me, Charles, the most amazing purpose-driven life, and I am thankful every day that I've been given this opportunity to save lives.
You know, you talked about your Engine 2 diet book several times, and let's just do a quick history here. What launched you on this? You were there in the fire department, and you noticed something happening there, and that's really what began your proaction toward all this. Exactly what happened there?
The Reader's Digest version is one of my fellow firefighting brothers, after a routine blood test showed he was basically knocking at death's door, and so we started a healthy eating revolution at Fire Station 2 in 2003, and I basically challenged these guys over the next 28 days to eat an exclusively what I call plant-strong diet,
yeah.
And then these guys morphed themselves from medical time bombs to healthy superheroes, and the word spread throughout the department. There was an article written in the local paper, and then the New York Times did an article on a bunch of crazy, you know, plant-based firefighters in Austin, Texas. And then that was the impetus for me to then write the Engine 2 diet book.
Yeah.
And the fire station where all this occurred was Fire Station 2 in Austin, Texas. And so, you know, therefore, the name of my first book, The Engine 2 Diet.
Now, I did not know until I was reading this book that there was some response also from the meat industry to what you were telling the people in Austin. Share with us what happened there.
Yeah. Well, so after the Engine 2 Diet book came out, about 2 months later, the Texas Beef Council, they couldn't stand it. And so they sent a representative to all 44 fire stations, and this representative delivered to each station a fully cooked brisket, grilling tools, a apron that said, "I love meat" on it, along with a cookbook on how to grill meat 150 different ways. And they also included with this package a little letter. And in the letter it said, in light of the Engine 2 diet book, we want to present to you as heroes in the community with these gifts, and we hope that you realize that meat is a nutritious part of everyone's diet, and we hope that you're not depriving yourself. So right around, along those lines, and it was funny because I got about 50 phone calls from different firefighters around the department saying, hey, Rip, write another book so we can get more free stuff.
And that sort of blew the cover on a real problem we have in this country, and that is for every person who is standing above the herd saying, hey, let's look at plants, let's look at health here, there's equal forces, and I should sometimes say unequal forces, much more powerful forces than individual you and I, who are coming at these people saying, listen, these guys are full of hot air, here's the real truth, you need meat.
Absolutely, and in fact, you know, I touched upon that in my book. You know, yes. the first half of my book is the facts, and I have 35 different myth-busting chapters, yes. And then the second half is 140 recipes. But, you know, one of the chapters I talk about calcium and how the best source of absorbable and retainable calcium actually comes from plants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the USDA came out with their MyPlate in late 2011, and in it they had a whole category for dairy. And in response to the USDA's MyPlate, the Harvard School of Public Health came out with their version of the MyPlate, and it did not have any dairy in it. And it's interesting to note that, you know, the Harvard School of Public Health is not influenced by any food lobbyists.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, in light of the research linking dairy products with ovarian cancer and prostate cancer, we believe that the best source of calcium for Americans comes from green leafies, collard greens, beans, and calcium-fortified plant milk, plant-based milks. Mm-hmm. So, interesting.
Interesting indeed. Now, let's go through some of these facts that you have here, which really destroy the myths. So for every fact you have here, there's a myth hiding behind it. And the one I hear all the time, and it's number one in your book, and that is, hey, where are you going to get your protein if you drop meat? What's your response?
You know, there's really no such thing as protein deficiency in this country. As long as you're consuming enough calories, mm-hmm. you're getting enough protein. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're getting those calories. If you're getting them from potatoes, rice, corn, oatmeal, collard greens, romaine lettuce, you name it. And that's because there's certain amounts of protein in all plant-based foods. It's just inherently, it's there. And, you know, I could talk for an hour about protein alone, but just to, you know, give you the short version, you're getting a complete protein, which means you're getting all of the 8 essential amino acids, mm-hmm. isoleucine, leucine, lysine, methionine, phenylalanine, tryptophan, threonine, and valine.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
And that is, they're not lacking. They are in all plant-based foods. And you're getting anywhere between 5% of your calories from protein up to as high as 51% in spinach. Mm. And beans are 25%. Potatoes are about 12%. Whole grain pastas and breads are about 15% protein. Lemons are 16% protein. Your average bean is 25% protein. And, you know, just to put this in perspective, we as humans only need between 5 to 10% of our calories coming from protein. So there's really no way to blow it unless you're only consuming, you know, 500 to 1,000 calories a day. And then you probably have bigger concerns and issues.
Yes,
but,
you,
you know, I subsisted on an exclusively all plant-based diet and have since about 1987 and did it as a professional triathlete training 4 to 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And all I would do to ensure that I was getting all the fats I needed, all the calcium, all the protein, all the carbohydrates, is I would just eat more plant-based food. Instead of having one sweet potato, I would have 3. Instead of having you know, 1 or 2 handfuls of oatmeal in the morning, I would have 3 or 4 with a banana and mango chunks and raisins and a small handful of walnuts and almond milk. I would have a salad that's the size of a zip code. And so, you know, one of the beautiful things about this lifestyle, Charles, as you well know, is not about counting calories or portion control or counting points. It's once you understand the principles of calorie density, you just get to eat and eat and eat. And that's what makes this lifestyle and this way of eating so sustainable and permanent.
Now, of course, another thing I get, and I'm sure you do too, and you put it in your book, it's up here on chapter 6, and that is about the bones. We are told that if we want strong bones, we drink cow's milk. What say you?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, all dairy products, you know, whether it's whole milk, 2% milk, 1% skim milk, they come with a lot of added baggage that actually makes dairy products not a very good form of absorbable calcium. So it comes with acidic-producing animal protein that creates a acidic environment in our bodies, and our bodies don't like that. So they want to buffer that acid load, and so they draw upon our bones and the calcium that's in our bones, which is a great buffering agent. And so we basically siphon calcium from our bones to buffer the acid load that's created from the protein in the dairy products. And it also comes along with problematic animal protein that you get in dairy products. It also comes with animal cholesterol, saturated fat, typically, you know, growth hormones, antibiotics. You know, for women that are concerned about elevated estrogen levels, the lactating cows, estrogen levels go up 33 times, not 33%, but 33 times.
My.
You can't win when you're trying to get your protein, your calcium, your vitamins, your minerals, everything from animal-based products. That's why plants, it's just a winning combination across the board.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about some more myths about meat eating and about animal products and the fact that we humans are supposed to eat meat. We have eaten meat for thousands of years. Why should we stop now? We'll talk with Rip Esselstyn about those and other questions that he has covered in his book, My Beef with Meat, on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
I'd like to think that one day, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a list of people. People like Jared and Susan, who were introduced to Jesus because of something we said. Or maybe it was as simple as a passing smile. But these people will look into their past and be able to say, "I'm here because of you." Recently, you may have heard that Heartwise Ministries has begun spreading the gospel to the young, the old, the sick, and the healthy. We want to take this type of medical programming to the non-believer and the person who has closed themselves off to traditional forms of outreach. If you believe as we do and want to support Heartwise so that together we can count more names on the Tree of Life, please consider donating today at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "I was reading a recent poll of men who were asked who they thought was the most influential male in the world today. Number one on the list was Don Draper, a character on a television series. He's not even a real person. Number two was Usain Bolt, an Olympic athlete who many believe defines the true spirit of competition, and President Barack Obama slipped in as number three. This is just another example of how the media has the power to create an influential character, market him as an ideal to the world, and affect the minds of a large segment of the population. That same media is doing the same thing when it comes to telling us how to build and maintain optimum health." Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit heartwiseministries.org. Welcome back to the program. Again, we want to invite you to heartwiseministries.org for more information about how to live a healthy life and how to use these plants that God has provided for us to assure you that type of life. And that is the center of the book that we're reviewing today with its author, Rip Esselstyn, My Beef with Meat. He says, "The healthiest argument for eating a plant-strong diet." And this man is a triathlete and also a firefighter, at least he was, and now he is a full-time crusader for the cause of eating healthy. Rip, you've heard the argument. I've heard the argument. We humans were made to eat meat. Our ancestors ate meat. They went out and killed it and cooked it and ate it, and they seem to do okay. So what's the problem with us now?
Well, yeah, and they typically live to about 33 years of age. And,
true.
You know, we are, there's a lot of great inventions that have come about in the last, you know, several thousand years. And, you know, along with, you know, the internet and phones and cars. And, you know, if you actually take a good look at the human anatomy, we are much more aligned with herbivores than we are with carnivores. Mm. And, you know, starting with the salivary digestive enzymes in our mouth, something called alpha amylase, which is exclusive to carbohydrate eaters. And you'll find none of these digestive juices in the mouths of true carnivores.
Yeah.
And if you look at our teeth, you'll find that we are much more in alignment with herbivores than we are carnivores. And our little, you know, our molars are flat. A true carnivore's molars are like jagged daggers that are great for tearing and mashing flesh.
Yeah.
And if you go down, our stomachs have a very kind of low acidity level compared to a true carnivore's that needs to basically dissolve and break up all the bones and the flesh and the hide and the hair and everything that they consume. And they have typically much bigger stomachs than we have. We have small little stomachs that are much more in alignment with herbivores. And then if you look at our intestines are very circuitous and long and typically somewhere right around 33 to 38 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And a true carnivore has short, very simple intestines because they want to get that meat out of their system so it doesn't putrefy, typically within one day.
Yes.
And you look at most Americans today, and the number one gastrointestinal issue that we face is constipation. And the true definition of constipation is when you're not going to the bathroom, when you're only going to the bathroom 1 to 3 times a week. And we now spend $750 million a year on laxatives. So we truly, you know, the best way to eat, where you're getting fiber, water, antioxidants, phytonutrients, plant-friendly protein, complex carbohydrates, healthy fats, is from plants, and then you don't have to worry really about a thing except how healthy you're going to be and how much weight you're going to lose.
Now, Rip, okay, this is excellent. This next one I hear a lot, and I'm so glad you have given this book to the world, because I'm just going to buy a bunch of them, and if anybody says anything to me at all, I'll say, here, read this. This one right here. It's okay to eat meat as long as it is grass-fed and doesn't come from some factory farm someplace. If my meat comes from a cow who died with a smile on his face, everything is fine. What's the lowdown on that one?
I'm not going to get too into this with you right now, Charles, but I'd like to leave it at this. And that is that if Marlboro came out with a brand of cigarettes that they said was all natural, all organic, you know, would you be fooled? And my bet is that you wouldn't. And it's basically the same thing with you know, the grass-fed meat. For the most part, you just can't get away from the fact that meat, all flesh, basically has the building blocks that promote chronic Western disease, whether it's the saturated fat, whether it's the dietary cholesterol, the problematic animal protein, whether it's this new study that just came out showing that when you eat meat, you harvest different types of bugs in your gut and your intestines that produce something called TMAO, which makes your cholesterol more sticky and more prone to create atherosclerosis. When you eat meat, you get different types of insulin-like growth factor.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, you may be getting a little bit less in the way of antibiotics and growth hormones when you're doing the grass-fed, and a little bit less fat, but I just in no way, shape, or form can condone, for a number of reasons, any type of meat.
Now, chapter 18 of your book, My Beef with Meat, Rip Esselstyn is our guest. I heard echoes of your dad here. Your dad, Caldwell Esselstyn from the Cleveland Clinic, he has a little chapter in one of his book called Moderation Kills. You say, lose the moderation mentality. So if I eat a little bit of meat, I'll be okay. Is that right?
Well, my thing is that as long as you have the mentality that you can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you're always going to be stuck in this no man's land, and it's never going to be easy for you. You're always going to be struggling, and you're in this gray zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I tell people, if you can go whole kale, go all in, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you've drawn a line in the sand, and it makes it really easy. You know, are you smoking cigarettes? Or are you not? Are you doing crack cocaine? Or are you not? Mm-hmm. Are you doing, you know, meat and dairy products? Or are you not? And when you make that decision in your mind, you'd be amazed how you don't struggle. You don't continually have these cravings because you're not continually feeding the 10,000 taste buds you have in your mouth and in your tongue with a little bit of cheese and a little bit of steak and a little bit of ice cream that keeps you wanting these things. And what happens is eventually, after about a month to 3 months, you start craving mm-hmm. the green leafies, the steel-cut oatmeal, the sweet potatoes, and all these wonderful plant-based foods that has been given to us by God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that you said steel-cut oats. Bob's Red Mill steel-cut oats, nothing like it on earth. What do you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Now, in the last couple of minutes we have on the program here, there are those among us who are long of tooth. We have been around for a while, and we say, well, you know, I've lived so far so well this way, and I've eaten my meat, and I'm old, so why should I change now? What benefits would I have if I'm 70 or 80 years old and I go plant strong?
Well, just like it's never too early to start eating this way, uh-huh. it's never too late to start eating this way. And it's amazing how quickly the human body can respond and start turning things around and getting healthy. And, you know, my father has been able to show this with his patients over and over and over again, patients in their 70s and 80s that were basically given a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, they're thriving, they're walking, they're playing tennis. Most people have their heart attacks over the age of 65. Most people come down with cancer mm-hmm. after the age of 51. And we now know that these, whether it's heart disease, whether it's type 2 diabetes, whether it's the major cancers, these can be slowed down, prevented, and reversed by eating an exclusively whole food plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. So don't ever for a second think that you're too long in the tooth and that it's too late for you, because it's never too late for you to reverse and start preventing the diseases that you've been building up over decades and decades.
Oh, that is such good news for so many listening right here. Okay, Rip, let's have some information how we can find out more about the My Beef with Meat and your website and anything else that you want to share with us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Charles. So you can go to our website, engine2.com, where we have all kinds of fantastic resources for people. You can like us on Facebook, Engine 2 Diet on Facebook. If you want to take a deeper dive into this lifestyle, we have a subscription-based website called engine2extra.com. We have 3 full-time coaches on there. We have 2,500 members, and we just help each other out. And we take questions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week there. We have live chat rooms all day long. And then you can also, if you want to join one of our weekend-long food camps, you can go to engine2.com or farms2forks.com, and we are offering those 5 weekends out of the year.
All right. Wonderful resources available to everyone right on the internet. Rip Esselstyn, My Beef with Meat. Thank you for having that beef with meat, because it's helping us a lot. Thank you, Rip.
My pleasure, Charles. Thank you.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Rip Esselstyn inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.